Hi, I'm Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Boundless Podcast. Your financial gifts make this download possible, so I hope you'll go to focusonthefamily.com/donate. And again, thanks for helping families thrive. Boundless Show.
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. We are in the middle of Rock the Body 2013, and we are loving the feedback that we are getting from you guys already. Loved those photos of you in front of your churches. So it was so fun to put those up on the blog. Those of you that are still sending them in, please do and give us your little release on that so we can post them. But it is very encouraging just to see that everyone is committing to this and we are loving it. Continue to give us feedback. Make sure if you are tweeting about this that you are hashtagging Rock the Body 2013. We also want you to give us some audio feedback, okay? So we need some of you to step up and do this. We need you to just call our voicemail box and drop a brief little comment about how your experience is going with the challenge. We need you to call 866-687-8686. That is 866-687-8686. Just a small blurb about something that's impacted you, something that's happened, why you decided to do this, whatever. We will actually feature those on the show. So please go ahead and drop us a line. All right, I want to let you guys know that this week's sponsor is actually Thomas Nelson Publishers. You all know them, Thomas Nelson. They're huge. And they actually have a new book out from one of our homegirls, Rebecca St. James, called The Merciful Scar. So it looks like it's a piece of fiction, so I would recommend that you check that out. But Thomas Nelson, thank you for sponsoring The Boundless Show. Okay, here we go. Later on in the show, we're going to be talking to a 20-something who is at his church, but isn't seeing a lot of his peers there. And so he's wondering, should I hang in there? Should I just be here even though there aren't really other 20-somethings? Or what do I need to do? So we, of course, have some advice for him. And then our culture segment is Caleb Brakey. He is the author of Called to Stay. So guess what he's going to tell you to do? Stay. Stay in your church, people, okay? But he's going to tell you why, and he's going to give you some great ways to really make a difference right where you are. FYI, if you are entering the contest for Rock the Body, you will be entering to win, in part, a copy of his book. So very exciting there. But here we are for our round table, and I have fun people with me here. First of all, we love it when people visit us from afar. So we have Shanika. Hey, Shanika.
Hi.
Hi. She was just telling me that she's listened to like the Boundless Show since like 1912. So we're very pleased to have her here visiting from Virginia.
Yes, yes.
And this is what happens when you come and visit us at the Boundless Show. We're like, what are you about? Because we will then just have you on our show. So it so happens that she has worked in the past in a church. And so that will be the theme here. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second. But the theme of this week's roundtable. So we also have Jason and Kevin here. Hi, guys.
Hey. How's it going?
Also, guys who are involved in their local churches in ministry, and specifically children's and youth ministry is what we're talking about today. So for all of you who are rolling your eyes and saying, oh my goodness, if I get asked to lead my Awana program one more time, you know, you've already got bitterness about this. Here are people that are doing it. We wanted to use this as just a microcosm of ways that you could serve in the church. So this is kind of the area we're going to highlight today. But do not tune out, because first of all, I'm going to ask these people, do you have to be like called to children's ministry to be in it? Do you have to be like gifted? Do you have to be like Mr. Rogers? Like, we're going to find out what you actually need to serve within the local church in this capacity. So Kevin actually works with Zero, which, can you really be Zero? I don't even know. I mean, I guess in the womb.
You're 9 months and a day.
Okay.
So that's where we start.
Okay. So he works with that age group all the way up through sixth grade at a church here in the area. And Jason is with the middle schoolers, which that's I would just say that's a calling right there.
Yeah, they're a quirky bunch. They all need like napkins and leashes, so you just have to be okay with that.
Okay. And Shaniko also was with middle school and high school when you were involved in your church and in ministry. So we're going to get some insiders' perspectives here from these folks. So this is going to be fun. And remember, you know, maybe your service is not currently or will not be in the future specifically in these areas, but these are just ideas of how you find out how to serve within your church, what it looks like to plug plug in and how truly people with different giftings can get it done. So I want to kind of start out. I mean, I jokingly said to you guys, like, do you really have to love kids to be in this kind of ministry? I mean, really, what are we talking about here? Because I think that's intimidating for some people to be like, kids are okay, but they kind of irritate me and I don't really understand them. And it's been a while since I've been there. So what do you guys feel is your pull towards the age groups that you're with, and why are you still in it?
Well, I know for me, like, I found Christ when I was a teenager. And, you know, I was just really distant from church, really disconnected. And, you know, I was a mess. But I had a youth pastor in his 20s actually reach out to me and just show interest. And, you know, ever since then, I've been wanting to work with young people and kids. And, you know, I think if people struggle with, man, do you have to love kids to work with kids? I think we really need to kind of look at, do you like kids or love kids? Because it's easy to be like, man, kids are, you know, frustrating, irritating, don't listen, it's hard to like them. But the core of who you are, I imagine some part of you loves them in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of fun to work with kids. And you get to be a kid, so, you know, we're doing all the crazy stuff and food fights, and uh-huh. You get to be a kid. And, you know, one of the cool parts is we all want to be loved, and just being present with kids, they love you. Mm-hmm. So you just walk into a room, and they're like, oh, Mr. Kevin's here, like, let's go hang out and talk. And so it's really fun. You go in the grocery store and some kid runs up and gives you a hug, and mom and dad looks at you like, who's this weird dude?
So you're saying this is a great ministry for needy personalities?
Oh,
people
yes.
that are just like, I need to be loved. Yeah.
Not quite, but but it's a lot of fun just to be able to invest. And it's part of, you know, God's called us not to just be about ourselves. And there's a group of people that are just longing to hear and see it lived out. And mm-hmm. those are our children and students. And so mm-hmm. to be able to live out your faith, as messy as it might be at times with kids, is just really cool to see them take bits and pieces about that and be able to live out and come to know Christ through your actions and through your life. So it's a really cool opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I had some incredible children's leaders / youth leaders growing up and being in the church, and just really thought of them as being my heroes. Mm. And so as a little girl, I loved music, and I remember my music teachers for choir were like so inspiring to me, and they were so cool. And so couple of years later, my mom had a baby who was 12 years younger than me, so my little brother, and that was a natural way to get involved in children's mm-hmm. ministry, because I was kind of serving his age group and kind of walk through church with them and did children's worship, kind of got to live my dream and started off at that entry point. Youth ministry was just a natural thing by working with Disciple Now weekends and getting involved when there was a need for, you know, who wants to do youth choir? And most people are like, not me. And I was like, you know what? They're really cool, and they're my height. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it was just a neat opportunity to just extend the gifts that God had given me to bless just the next generation of church followers, of church leaders.
So. Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people have this assumption that, you know, oh, just, you know, working with kids at my church is kind of this glorified babysitting, or it's just kind of like keeping them, you know, occupied while their parents are going and doing the true worship. But truly, and even statistically speaking, I mean, kids ministry and youth ministry is one of the highest entry points of people into the family of God. I mean, this is where many kids come to Christ, and you hear many stories of, like Jason, you know, I met the Lord when I was in high school, or when I, through a VBS program, or through whatever. So talk about any like experiences you guys have seen with that. I mean, how are you seeing lives changed where you are?
Yeah. Well, you know, like, as you're talking about statistically, I know George Barner released a book quite a few years ago now. I was in high school when it came out, but talked about how spiritual formation is solidified in a child by age of 13. Hmm. And so the opportunity to see these kids, they're hungry for it. We've got kids that are reading, you know, they come up, they're like, I'm reading Revelation. Do you know what this talks about? And you're like, man, I don't know. I don't let me get out my books and figure that out. But they're excited to learn more. And so, you know, for me, one of the exciting parts is I get to be on the front lines, which brings a totally different challenge in your spiritual life and spiritual attack that comes in with that. But you get to be on the front lines, and kids' lives are transformed. And when a parent can come to you and say, hey, I don't know what happened last week, but my daughter is 100% different than she was a week ago. Mm. And we can say, hey, you know, we told you, we talked about, she said, I want to give my life to the Lord, and it's transforming. And it's cool to see it, because you get to see it. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, sometimes with adults, we don't see it as much. But when we invest in the lives of kids, you get to see it, and it's happening. And after that age of 13, the statistics drop significantly for kids coming to know the Lord as their Savior. So we, being on that front lines, investing is a great opportunity.
Yeah, it's like that. It's that 4 to 14 window. I mean, once a kid gets in high school, it's almost, not that they're lost or gone, but that's becoming the new college black hole, sort of, with people finding Christ. And I don't know, it's just that to me should bring about a lot of urgency with serving with kids and preteens and young teens, because I mean, what you're doing, you're investing in the future of the church. I mean, it's not just the youth ministry, the kids ministry you're part of. I mean, in a very real way, the future of your physical institutional church in a lot of way depends on your desire to serve. I mean, are you really going to invest in, or you're just going to, you know, once your back is, you know, out of middle school and high school, then that's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of, you know, discouraging. So hopefully people will hear that and say, man, I got to get involved with and invest in young people and realize, hey, it's not just leading a game or doing a WANA or being an event or going to camp. It's, man, some interaction is going to radically transform a young person's life to where they're going to, something's going to click and they're going to be invested in Jesus Christ and the church the rest of their lives. And I mean, that's just an amazing place to be at.
Yeah, that's great.
It's been neat to kind of see how the Lord will create a bond that goes beyond the children's ministry or youth ministry. Yeah. And so one of the girls that was just one of my students in elementary school is now about to graduate college, and I've been mentoring her along the years. And so it's kind of humbling to hear where she's at, because the conversations we had at 9 and 10 years old are much different now at 21 and 22 as she's looking at life. But it's been neat because the Lord has just continued to walk us through the path. And now I'm seeing kids that were kids in children's ministry at camp or children's worship who are now leading and now serving. And that has been an awesome blessing to see. It's not about me. I just got to be an excited person that got to just love on them. But the Lord transforming their hearts in that 4 to 14 range so that as they move to adulthood, that they become more of an active, thriving part of the church. And so it's a blessing. And now not everyone got it, but there are some that are getting it, and it's an awesome picture to see them kind of rise up.
Well, yeah, let's talk a little bit about how you guys, I mean, how it's actually, you know, really kind of enhanced your not only involvement in your local body, but, you know, I mean, I'm assuming that with other people you serve with and the staff that you work with, I mean, you have now people that you're connected to that are pouring into you. I mean, I think a lot of times we think, okay, well, ministry, all I'm going to do is give. But you're probably, I mean, there are older people who've come along before you who can kind of mentor you, just like Shanika was just saying she's doing with this girl. But how is it really, because you have to show up places, you have to be invested, how has that poured into you spiritually?
Well, I know with me just leading our team of ministry partners, like it's instant community. I mean, there's people there that have, you know, expectation like, oh, he's going to be there. You know, something about the program is going to be different if this person doesn't show up. I mean, it's an instant community. There's something about being part of something bigger than yourself that's just kind of personally rewarding. So I don't think when you serve with kids or students or, you know, any kind of age group, you're not serving in a vacuum, really. It's always kind of a side-to-side kind of deal, and that's just a neat community to be part of, because you immediately have a tie-in, some kind of buy-in. You're like-minded about something, at least.
Yeah, when you serve with others, I mean, they care about who you are. They care about what's going on in your life. And so, you know, as you come in and you're interacting, they're going to say, how's your week going? And, hey, I really need prayer in this area. I'm really struggling here. And then they care. And one of the cool things about, for me, working in children's ministry, I've been serving since I was 12 in children's ministry. So I left the children's program, and the next day I was serving in the two-year-old classroom because youth group was scary. I mean, that was part of my story. I eventually went to youth group. It's good. But, you know, that's just kind of how I plugged in. And just that community that they're investing in, and kids give back. Like, you'll be blown away when you sit down and you're going through a tough week. Kids get it, and they're like, hey, what's going on? You share a little bit of your story, and they're like, hey, let me pray for you. And in that moment, they'll pray, and I don't care who you are, you can be the biggest, toughest guy, you're going to be bawling your eyes out because this child just prayed God's blessing over you in a way that's just unique. So they challenge you in your spiritual walk. You want to be better. You want to be ready. You want to be able to answer a question they have. And then you've got other leaders around you that want to pour into your life, and they want to connect. And so, like Jason said, that community is awesome. And as young adults, so often we struggle for community and finding that place and finding our place in the body of Christ. Like, where do I fit? Mm-hmm. When you start serving within the body, there's this connection that starts to build. And it still takes work. I'm not saying start serving tomorrow and you're going to have this awesome community and you're all going to go do stuff together. But it takes work, but it's still there. It's a natural place to build it. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of benefits come from both ends. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so worth it. I'm not on staff at a church right now. I'm on staff at a ministry, but I remember leaving my very last Sunday. It was just about a year ago. I wept in front of a church because I was leaving my family. Mm. And by serving in youth ministry, kids ministry, college ministry, it was families that I was interacting with. Mm-hmm. And I wept because I was missing my family as a whole. And it really is an instant community. Like, I didn't realize how much of a blessing that would be in the process. But I have students who are praying for my future spouse. I have girls that want to be my bridesmaid as well. Many girls. And
it's going to be a big wedding.
Oh, you know what? Why not? Bring it. And it's just been neat. Like, being here in Colorado, I have a childhood friend that is here, and we grew up in church together, and she is now married and has a family, and we got to spend time together. Another girl that was in my small group is on a church planning team, and she just had a baby. So I'm holding this baby, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, oh my word, like, this is your baby. Like, we're not in small group anymore. This is incredible. So I really, it's just an awesome opportunity to be a part of a greater family of God, and that's an overflow of the blessing.
Sure. Well, give us some ideas, you guys. So for those that are out there and they're like, okay, well, maybe, I mean, I feel like this is something I'd like to look into, but where is there space within kids ministry, youth ministry in a church for people with different giftings or skills? Because I think, like, a lot of people think, well, if you're not willing to be slimed, or if you're not, you know, everyone has to be an athlete, everyone has to be super cool, otherwise you can't do it, you know, whatever. Where do you see people serving in just very unique, interesting ways and using their gifts?
I think for us at Switch, we have like a whole food team. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of adults that just, man, they would love to interact with kids, but like, a lot of their time at home is interacting with their kids, and this is just a different way for them to serve. Hmm. That's not totally conversational, but it's just, it kind of releases that hospitality aspect of who you are. Hmm. You know, creating a room, getting food out, making it look nice, and even knowing that, man, this may be like the best meal one of these young people have this week, and it's because you served it. Hmm. And, you know, you're giving them a sense of family that they probably don't get outside of this 90-minute window when they're in our student ministry. So that's been a really cool way that we've had a lot of just differently skilled and talented people come and serve.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of not specific to everybody. Like, each church has their own ways. And so, like, we have different opportunities in our church where, hey, you don't want to be hands-on with the kids, but you want to greet. So you're welcoming families, you're really friendly presence, and you're welcoming them, you're helping them get them settled. We've got people who want to do just some administrative stuff to help out the team. Yeah. And so it's really going to the leadership of the church and going, hey, I'm available, I'm willing, and here's what I feel like I could do well, and then just start seeing how it works out. And the team loves that. Like, I love it when somebody's like, hey, I don't know what I can do, but I'm here. Like, where can you use me? Plug me in. Yeah. Hey, I want to be the slime person. Like, all I want to do is show up and do crazy events. Hey, we need you. We love people like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've got the other people who are like, hey, I just want to sit in a classroom and pray over people. Like, I'll come and sit and pray. I don't want to interact with the kids, but I want to talk to the leaders and find out what they need and just be a prayer person for them. So, I mean, the opportunity is endless. I mean, as part of the body, you know, there's so many ways to serve, even within children's and students.
Right.
So there's a lot of that.
That's great.
I think even if you don't want to be the person that's being slimed, can you be there to help clean up the slime?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Because after you're extending yourself after an event, you're exhausted. You've had to greet every child in the room or every student. Parents are asking you questions or turning in forms. And, like, there's so much going on that at the end of the night, the last thing you want to do is look at, you know, gallons of slime and candy wrappers and Bibles that were left over. And it's, you know, 10 o'clock at night, you have a staff meeting the next morning. Like, can you be there to help? Mm-hmm. Or if you can't spend the night at a host home, can you, if you're a college student, are you available to being there to help drive? Because not everyone is brave enough to have a a group of middle school girls in their van. Like, not everyone can handle that. It's not for the faint of heart. But are you available to just do whatever? Can you do a video for us for an event? Can you call our attendees who have not been to church in like 4 or 5 weeks? Are you gifted in music? Can you mentor one of our band members? Where are you giving God your yes, and can you extend it into other ministries?
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I would say too, I mean, what I've seen is just if you're out there like looking for a quote, you know, a vacation idea or a way to use your vacation, volunteer to go as a chaperone on a student mission trip or to a conference to drive one of those vans to be, I mean, you will remember, I will never forget my summer after college. I drove a van load of girls halfway across the U.S. to a conference, and it was crazy, and it was hilarious. I will never forget those memories and just the neat conversations that we had.
Oh, yeah. Bus rides are amazing. Like, the conversations that come out and the things that kids say, it's mind-blowing. Like, you're not going to see it on, like, reality TV or I mean, just like they're going to say the most outlandish things, and it just spurs on awesome conversations you probably wouldn't get anywhere else.
That's great. And I will say too, I mean, I actually am working with a small church plant here in town now, and I volunteered to serve in the nursery. You know, I don't have kids. I remember I helped in nursery when I was in high school and stuff, and a lot has changed. Okay. So, I mean, first of all, if you can just hold a baby, just sign up for the nursery and just go there. Okay. But it's funny. I mean, well, you do have to get like practically a federal security clearance to go in there. I will say that, but it's just cute. I mean, to see the parents come with all their kids' little stuff, and they're just so excited to have that time to be out in worship and to be, you know, and you don't need any degrees to do it. You don't need. So I just think there are so many opportunities, especially like for young people and this stuff, because like, for example, we have the older ladies at our church who want to come in the nursery and hold the babies, but they don't want to chase toddlers up and down slides. They don't want to be, they can't lift sometimes the kids up on the changing table. You know, they just want to hold sleeping babies. So you young people, young adults, this is a great opportunity for you to step in. So.
Yep. And for those young families that are coming, that's a huge piece because, you know, in our church, we've recognized like we're a big church. And so I don't get to interact with every family and being on staff. And so we call ministry partners, they're the face of the ministry. And so, you know, as they interact with the young families, you know, a parent dropping off their 6-month-old is a big deal. Mm-hmm. They have waited 6 months, some of them, and they're still terrified, and they're going to check in 5 times throughout the service. But it's a big deal. And to have people that are excited to be there with a nice smile and a warm presence, be like, hey, we got this. Enjoy service. God wants to bless you this morning. And we are going to love on your baby, and we're going to pray over your baby, and it's just going to be a good time, is a huge step for, again, the church. You're not just blessing that baby, and they're learning that church is a safe place, but you're blessing that family. And again, it just kind of ripples throughout the whole congregation. So it's a really cool, even in the nursery, as you said, it's a huge role on our team.
Yeah. So cool. Well, thank you guys so much for, I think, just giving us a great vision and really a sense of excitement for how this can be just one example of where young adults can plug into the local church. And it's, you know, it's a blast. It has impact. It has memories. I mean, you're going to just, you will not be the same for having done it. And we didn't talk a lot about the challenges, and we know that they're there as well. But, you know, what ministry doesn't have challenges at this point? So you just plug in and be helpful. Like Kevin said, show up and just say, where can I help? And someone will plug you in. So I also want to give a shout out to Jason. Happy anniversary. He's celebrating 2 years today.
Yes.
So you can actually move towards marriage, even in student ministry, and keep your marriage together. That is good news. So there's hope.
I met my wife serving in student ministry.
Okay.
So those of you
bonus.
Yep. Those of you post-college people that are single, don't know where to meet people, man, get in a nursery and like you're holding a baby and someone you see is holding a baby, you're like, you do that well, so do I. Like, let's see where this goes.
That's good. That's very good. Thank you guys so much. Kevin, Jason, and Shanika. Great to have you guys here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I've been told it's all right that sometimes I'm just not all right. Right. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to admit you're in over your head some days, yeah. And
It's alright. It's alright. It's alright.
Well, folks, we are here for our culture segment, smack in the middle of our Rock the Body Challenge, which I hope all of you are still going strong with. We are loving the responses that we're getting from you all. We're having a lot of fun doing this. Loved seeing your photos on the blog a while back there of y'all in front of your local churches. So continue to send in your stuff if you're doing that. But we're very privileged in the meantime to have another fun guy with us. I have Caleb Brakey here. Hey, Caleb.
Hey, how's it going, Lisa?
It is going well. So glad that you were able to carve out some time for us for the Boundless Show. We are going to be talking about your book called To Stay, which I think you wrote basically for Boundless for our Rock the Body Challenge, what it sounds
exactly,
like.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. It was right in the contract.
That is very good, very good. And I love that that the color of it is a bright yellow. That's my favorite color, just FYI. So I'm already enamored with it.
Love it.
But very good to hear from a young adult who is passionate about the church. And I think a lot of times when maybe as people thought we were going to be talking about Rock the Body, they're going to be like, here come a bunch of old dudes to tell us why we need to be in church and doing all this stuff. So glad to hear from one of our own on this. Exactly. Well, for those of you who are or aren't familiar with Caleb, he is a former journalist, obviously the author of this book called To Stay, also a novelist. That's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah. Unleashed. Yeah. Do some writing. Yeah.
Okay. That is very cool. So you do write pretty much for a living, it sounds like, as well as speak, and love talking about relationships, the church, and following Jesus. All good topics. Very fun. So I'm going to just jump right in here and start talking to you about this, because this is something we're right in the middle of. And I want to know, I mean, you say the subtitle on the book is an uncompromising mission to save your church. And I know you're not telling all of us that we will single-handedly save our churches. And certainly,
yeah.
I'm sure there are a lot of millennials out there who feel like only millennials will save churches. So we want to break that assumption as well. But I want to ask you just from the get-go, why is there, I mean, obviously there are reasons why you write this book, but why is there such a disdain for the church? I mean, is this new or is this just being talked about now in our generation? I mean, did people sit around in the 40s and 50s and be like, my church is so lame? I mean, where do you see this discussion kind of originating and where's it going right now?
Yeah, you know, I really don't think it's new. I mean, I read a lot and I study just a lot about the church, and it seems more to me that it's just kind of history repeating itself. I don't think my generation is really all that different than past generations. I think it's, you just reach a point, and I think millennials right now, they're leaving the church, and you know, you look back and it's not, you don't have to look too far to realize that this has happened before, you know, whether it be the Jesus movement or something that looks similar to it. And a lot of young people are leaving the church, and kind of there's two different groups of young people right now. There's those who leave the church because, you know, hey, they got better things they want to do. They just, you know, Jesus really hasn't captured their lives. But there's also this group that I'm really interested in. They're leaving the church because they don't see Jesus in the church, and you know that's their main thing, and so they're going. Their main thing is, hey, why meeting in church when Jesus is calling us to redeem this world? And I think that has played itself out in other generations before. So no, I don't think it's new among us, and no, I don't think that millennials are the ones who are going to change the church. I mean, the main thing is that each of us look inward. I love. Someone coined during the writing of this book that called To Stay, they said, the only movement we need is staying. And really, it comes down to one person at a time, someone who's really willing to invest in the body of Christ, in the bride of Christ, you know, to love the unlovely, not only outside the church, but inside as well.
Yeah, which I think is so difficult, because I think that, you know, even though it's sometimes overreported that, oh, you know, no millennials are going to church, they're just out hiking and they just are, you know, listening to sermons online or whatever. I mean, I think there are a lot of young adults in churches or trying to be in church, but I feel like there's, you know, elements of, you know, some consumerism to it, to like, you know, well, I don't like the worship, or no one likes me, or I'm not, you know, I don't feel it's welcoming or something like that. Which is interesting, because you're actually saying, you know, even more so probably it's this idea of, well, I want a real faith. I see it lived out in pockets here and there, but why am I not seeing it explicitly within the church?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you have actually, something that you say in the book. You're basically calling people, you know, I mean, the book is called Called to Stay, but you're saying don't just stay in church. So we're not just saying don't just populate a pew. You're actually calling young adults to do their part to change it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
yeah. So let's talk about, give us an idea of what you mean by that actually, and how someone can even get started.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I you know, when I look at the book, or I say the book title to someone, especially to a young person, you can definitely get that glaze, like, oh no, just you know, stay because it's tradition, stay because we've always stayed. I mean, that's not a mission. That's not what Jesus calls us to do. You know, the church is a movement. It's not a monument. And Called to Stay is really about staying. Isn't just about staying. It's about staying to encourage others to love and good deeds. You know, right out of Hebrews 10, we're called to do it. I mean, Paul's saying, hey, don't, oh, not Paul, I'm sorry, I always get mixed up as the writer of Hebrews, but we don't know that. but, you know, the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't neglect me as some, you know, are in the habit of doing, but encourage each other to love and good deeds. And what is that really saying? I mean, it's really saying, don't neglect to be like Jesus to one another. You know, encourage each other to love and good deeds. That's, Jesus has called us to do that. And so, you know, the main thing is that staying isn't about staying. It's about encouraging. It's about laying down your life for others. I mean, my story is, I was a heartless, judgmental Christian, just for a lot of my life. And God brought someone into my life in church who completely blew me away with his love for Jesus. It changed me. It was a hot coal warming me up. My life was changed because someone was Jesus to me when I was an unlovely, judgmental, pharisaical Christian. And that doesn't happen, you know, when we leave and we be pockets. You know, if we go hang out with believers who just like are, you know, they think like we do, they act like we do, we have churches, Starbucks, whatever, you know, when you plug into a church that's messy and you just be Jesus to people, you rub off. The gospel is not going to return void in word and in deed. You know, things are happening, and we need to meet together where we don't get to choose who we get to love. We invest ourselves into everyone. You know, there's the lifelong Christian. There's the Caleb breaking the world who's just a Christian jerk. But at the end of the day, Jesus is going to move and flip hearts upside down, but you have to be willing. You have to be willing to go through the hardness of that. It's not easy to encourage someone who's rough around the edge. It's not easy to love an unlovely person. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Jesus calls us, you know, I think of the story of the Good Samaritan. Yeah, go help that person who literally thinks you're dirt on a skeleton. You know, I mean, it's just, we need to love the unlovely, no matter outside or inside the church.
Yeah. Well, how, and obviously, I mean, I think there are some legitimate challenges in churches, I mean, around the globe. And, you know, some people are discerning and can see those. And it's hard, like you said, to not want to jump in and be like, okay, this needs to be fixed. This needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. How do we determine, Caleb, first of all? I mean, and I think that's legit. There are things where we can get started right away and kind of, you know, to way overused term, be the change, you know, in that sense. But how can we tell if the problem is just us, quite frankly? Because, you know, I think there are a lot of like gripers who are just kind of, they're going to find something wrong with their church experience, or they're going to expect something to be delivered to them.
Definitely.
How can our heart be changed to understand how we really need a radically new heart to even go about this?
Yeah. Oh, amen. You know, it's funny, just going right out, flowing out of my story of what happened and how Jesus changed my heart, right after kind of coming out of this stage of just realizing how dead and loveless I was, I got very bitter toward the church. I was like, how could this ever happen? How could I have not known Jesus? I've gone to church my whole life, and I got bitter, very bitter toward the church. I almost left the church, and what you're talking about, I mean, that's what needed to happen. I kept being like, you know, I kept talking with my wife, honey, I think we should leave. You know, there's just, why not just go be Jesus? And that's kind of where the book comes from, because I never got that clear confirmation from God. The Spirit was not letting us leave. It was just, nope, we got to stay. And I realized that I'd become useless to nobody because of it. It's one of those weird paradoxes, because here I am getting all amped up about, man, I can't wait to just be loved. You know, I've been this dormant Christian my whole life. Now I'm ready to go love. And all of a sudden, I'm bitter toward my entire church, mm-hmm. and I became useless to everyone. And so that, I mean, even in the book, there's a chapter called Where to Start. And where to start, it's going inward. It's digging deep. It's assessing, hey, am I living like Jesus? I list, even in the book there, just a chance to just read over kind of what, you know, Jesus, first, do you love Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? Mm. And then the other half of that, you know, it's not just our feelings for Jesus, but are we doing what he said?
Yeah.
And what he said is very, very demanding in the way you live your life. Not demanding like a you know, legalistic sort of way, but like, we're talking love your enemies. We're talking, hey, if this person steals from you, give him your coat. I mean, these are things that are just upside down. Our culture would be like, you know, hey, you're justified in being angry right now. And I think a lot of millennials right now, they feel justified in their anger for the church. And, I mean, Jesus, you know, what's he do? He comes up, we're ready to stone a prostitute. He comes up, and he draws a line in the sand. He says, you know, they all walk away. He says, hey, does anyone condemn you? No, Lord. He says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. And so, I mean, his example is, I mean, if you were to do a parallel, I mean, the church is beaten and bruised, you know, not, doesn't have a great reputation, kind of like that prostitute. What do we have to do? We have to love. We have to speak love and truth to each other.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's so true that, I mean, there's a reason why from the New Testament certainly on, we could even argue going back into the Old Testament and some elements of the people of Israel, but God for some reason chooses to use the church. I mean, he, you know, I think there are so many of us that are like, oh, you know, this is a waste of time. I would do so much better to just be walking my neighborhood on a Sunday morning and having relationships with people and, you know, being friendly to the homeless person. And that's all well and good. But for some reason, God is calling us to the local church. And in light of that, I know when you talk about this in the book that you're a big fan of structure, quite frankly, which is maybe anathema to some young adults. They're like, I don't want any structure.
Sure.
So explain to us the value of structure in a body of believers and what that looks like.
Sure. So there's a couple things. One is just, I mean, you go through the New Testament, you go through the Bible, and it's you can't get around the fact that God calls us to structure. I mean, pastors, elders, deacons, you know, talking about coming together as church, praying, singing songs, you know, different things like that. And but really, I mean, God knows what's best for us. And you even look, I call it the spiritual runaround, because I believe that, you know, the kind of the spiritual grassroots, you know, kind of, hey, let's just go meet in a park. Let's get, you know, whatever, very little structure. I think there could be value in that. But at the end of the day, kind of alternative churches without the biblical structure run into one of two problems. And one is that either they accept people who are only like them and think as they do, or they accept everyone. And then the questions start arising that originally formed the church in different denominations, like, hey, what's this in the Bible about, you know, talk about pastors, elders, and deacons? Should we do that? And then simple things like, hey, who's going to pay the electric bill? Is there child care? Can we even bring our kids? Is it even safe? You know, all these things start piling up, and you start creating a church in a way. And so we're so blessed to have church buildings and structure. You know, God knows what he was doing, and we're blessed by this. You know, think about countries where there's a lot of house churches. I mean, they lack structure, and they wish they could meet in places like we have. The thing that we have to watch out in America is, you know, we can't make it about the structure. We can't make it about the buildings. We have to have it as a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, And then when it comes to, you know, what you had mentioned about, you know, young people, hey, I'd be better, you know, going and visiting my neighbors, having relationships. You know, my response to a lot of that is, you know, at the end of the day, church is about an hour and a half a week, maybe three if you do something in the middle of the week. That's a very small investment to pour into your brothers and sisters at church. Even if you just do the bare minimum and go to church, we're talking an hour and a half. You know, that's not stopping you from living like Jesus Monday through Saturday at all. So,
very true. Yeah. Well, you also talk in the book about this idea, and we touched on it a little bit, but this idea of infiltrating and what it looks like. And of course, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, and you kind of beat them to the punch in the book of saying, well, that sounds kind of prideful. but how can, if someone is in their church right now and they're like, I'm kind of here, I go pretty regularly, but I don't really know that I'm all in. I don't really know what, you know, what this is about. I'm wondering maybe I should go somewhere else, or maybe I'm not a big fan at all. Where should they get started, Caleb? How, I mean, other than, you know, like you said, with our own hearts, looking at that, how can a young adult truly infiltrate a church that maybe is like stacked with elders and people, you know, where a lot of young adults will feel like, I can't have any impact here. Where do they begin?
Well, I mean, aside from looking inward, I mean, and just living filled with the Spirit, filled, you know, living childlike in a way. I talked a little bit about that. You know, just you have to have such a relationship with Christ that, I mean, you're not afraid to speak. You're not afraid to love. You're not afraid to you know, live childlike, not conform in a way. And I mean that, not conform to, like, there's things, I get this sense that there's some churches where you feel like, you know, every church has a culture, and you feel like you have to conform to that in a way, like, you know, people usually don't do this or that. And so for say, you know, my church, for instance, I noticed just, it didn't seem like, I mean, this was just my own experience, there just wasn't a lot of spiritual conversations going on. You know, kind of the idea of we eat together and we call it fellowship. We picnic and we call it fellowship. But it's like, no, let's do life on life. So, I mean, one way you can start to infiltrate is, I mean, hey, after the service, what have you, you're talking, and don't talk about the sports, don't talk about weather. Go, hey, man, where's God been in your week? Where's he been missing in your week? How's your heart? And you get into conversations about life. You don't take a brushed off answer. You go, you know, bro, what's really going on right now? Where are you at with your relationship with Jesus? Those walls start to come down. And some people don't like the idea of infiltrating, but the idea of infiltration is you're speaking Jesus into someone. You're being a disciple, making disciples. You're refusing to go to stay at the surface level. You're saying that I'm committed to being honest, authentic, and not just staying and honest and authentic, because sometimes millennials just get there. I mean, you want to be honest and authentic and about Jesus. You right. put those together and you be that in your church. I don't care who you're talking to. There's going to be room for the Spirit to really convict and do some amazing things in both your heart and the person you're speaking into. And, you know, as you're having these deep conversations, opportunities are going to come up where, you know what, it might be hard, but hey, you gotta serve this person. They tell you something, and you gotta be like, you know, I'm gonna be there. Hey, what are you doing right now? Let's go pray together. You know, you have to be. And this is work for the audience of one. You're not gonna get a gold star for this. You're not a hero. You are willing to invest. And you're doing it for the audience of one.
Right. Well, you finished the book, Caleb, by saying that there is a time to actually leave. So it's not, you know, it's not always white knuckle it and bear with everything and put up with, you know, craziness or whatever. Give us a little bit of a framework for, okay, when may it actually be a good time to look at finding another body of believers?
I mean, yeah. You're being abused. I mean, simple. You got to get out of there. You're being threatened that you're not a Christian because you're you know, for whatever reason, and it's obviously not a sin issue. It's destroying you or your family. You know, those are times when it's like, yeah, it's probably time to go. Maybe your pastor doesn't take a scripture as the final authority. You know, there are reasons that you need to go. This is a very touchy thing. I get, you know how you can post some on Facebook or whatnot and not be as nuanced as you want. A lot of I get is like, you know, I talk about staying in church and someone's like, man, you have no idea how abused I've been. You have no idea about, and I totally get that. Man, some churches have been very messed up. Some pastors are not true shepherds. I mean, there are times to go, but it's not for a lot of the reasons that we're listing today. Mm-hmm. You know, even just the idea of, I don't like that my pastor wears skinny jeans or tries to be relevant, or I don't like the worship here. I mean, I'll be the first to say, you know what, my church sings mostly hymns. I love a lot of hymns, but every once in a while I would like to sing some Casting Crowns or something. But at the end of the day, that doesn't really matter. I mean, I'm going to worship God, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I am going to worship God from my heart no matter what we're singing. So there's things where it's like, you know, yeah, it's a preference, but again, it's an hour and a half, and you worship God from the heart no matter what. And so you kind of get the different sides of the coin there. Some are like, yeah, it's time to go. And that's the other thing. When you leave, you know, it doesn't need to be a big deal. You don't need to slander it all over Facebook. You don't need to, you know, you just follow God's leading. You know, you pray about it. You read. You get into His Word. And then you just, you know, feel it out. What's the Holy Spirit leading you to?
Yeah, good point. Well, Caleb, thank you so much for just kind of casting a vision for this and really giving us some practical advice for what it looks like to love your church right where you are and to be truly be in your church in a way that is going to influence it from within and also influence your own heart and really draw you closer to God. I mean, because like you said, I mean, sometimes it really is the work within our own heart and our own spirit that is going to start being the most effective in the places Amen. We are. So again, folks, the book is Called to Stay, An Uncompromising Mission to Save Your Church. I've been talking with Caleb Brakey. We're going to have, obviously, the book linked on our site. And we will be watching for you, Caleb. So we'd love to have you come visit us here at the Boundless Show sometime if you can. Pop on out here to Colorado. But we'll be hearing more from you, I'm sure. So thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Lisa. Anytime. It's absolutely great.
Blessed are the poor, for the kingdom is yours. Blessed when you mourn, there's comfort in His arms. Blessed are the meek, with the world at your feet. Blessed when it's righteousness that you seek. It's beautiful, beautiful, like a city on a hill.
Opening up this week's inbox, and I have Candace Waters on the line. Hey, Candace.
Hey, Lisa.
Hello. All right. Another question for you here from one of our 20-somethings in the Boundless audience. We love our 20-somethings. Hey, guys.
Churchgoer for the Rock the Body.
Churchgoer for Rock the Body, hopefully doing the challenge. But a question about, you know, there's been a lot in the news about millennials in the church, and are they completely just on a mass exodus? And so I think this question touches a little bit on that. This person says, when I look around during a church service, I notice I'm often the only 20-something in the midst of hundreds of teens, seniors, and married couples. After doing some research online, I discovered that this is a widespread phenomenon. Furthermore, it seems as if little to nothing is being done to resolve this issue. What can be done? I feel like because I'm part of this generational problem that I'm also being called to do something about it.
Great question. I think the first thing I think of when I hear this, though, is a little bit of an Elijah syndrome saying, you know, Lord, I'm the only faithful one left. everybody else has abandoned and gone over to pagan worship, and God says, you know, I have 7,000 faithful, 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And so I would just encourage this young man that there are cities and there are churches within cities where there are vibrant communities of 20-somethings. Probably this is regional, localized to where he is. And as far as doing your research online, you know, that's as good as far as it's trustworthy. And I wouldn't take what the internet says about the nature of church membership as gospel truth, pun intended. What does God's word say about building his church? He is the one building his church. And so the best and first thing to do is to pray and say, Lord, in my town, in my church, the pews are vacant of 20-somethings, and this is a huge concern to me. What can I do? And, Lord, would you have mercy on us and send your spirit and bring revival to our community and show me today where I can begin to make a difference? And I think the most obvious answer is start by inviting your friends to church with you. Reach out to the young people you know, especially the ones who are believers, and say, hey, I would love for you to come with me to church. And hopefully you're in a church where they are preaching the word, where lives can be transformed by the power of God's word. But you know, we can't do market testing and take polls to find out what we should do to attract 20-somethings. That doesn't work. We can't accommodate the church to the culture's whims when God has told us very clearly what his church is about. And so I just think we have to be very careful when we think about this. This hasn't worked in the past when churches have tried to make themselves you know, more palatable to the culture. What ends up happening is the gospel gets watered down, and it ends poorly.
Hmm. Yeah, very true. And I think, like I said, you know, we've seen so much in the news and on blogs lately about, you know, well, what are millennials wanting? And, you know, maybe that's not, like you said, the best question to be asking. But yeah, what can we do to inspire? And sometimes, like you said, the best thing to do is to lead by example and to show. And of course, that's what we are doing in our small group roundtable and talking about that. And the fact that, you know, our roundtable from 2 weeks ago about just the reason for even being in the church. I think it's so important for young adults nowadays to commit to that and to lead by example, you know, like Timothy, you know, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young.
Well, you know, I think we see so often pastors and churches that are so wanting to reach out to people and have really great motives. They want people in their pews, but they focus on so much God's love. God loves you so much. It's almost the vegetalization of Sunday morning to say, God is love, God is love, and he is love. But when you forget that he is holy and you don't start with his otherness, you don't rightly understand how loving he is, mm-hmm. how much he condescends to come to us and make a way for us to come to him. And so I think we have to get back to first things, which is holding high the Bible and preaching the word and trusting God to build his church.
Yeah, so true. Well, thanks, Candace, for that insight. And hopefully it will be helpful for this listener. All right, folks, that is it for this week's show. As always, we want you to write to us at editor@boundless.org so we can answer your question on a future show. And in the meantime, we want to make sure you are weighing in on the blog, especially with your thoughts around this topic as it relates to our Rock the Body Challenge. Very excited to be part of that. And we're moving right along in this challenge. So my goodness, hopefully you guys have been motivated and have gotten your friends to participate with you as well. So that is it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.